Right, welcome on to the 29th Manx Footy Pod of the season. Today, myself and Disco.
Hey, everyone.
I'm joined by Manchester United player and Peel FC women's manager, Michael Corlett, to discuss the season and look ahead to Tuesday's Women's FA Cup final. Right, Michael, welcome along to podcast. You're in the original broom cupboard today. We've gone all nostalgic, haven't we, Dave?
We only reserve this for special guests.
Yeah, so. Very special guests. You know, we saw the Celtic Media Festival's on at the moment, so we go back to...
Back to our roots.
Push the boat out a little bit.
Well, especially thanks. We know you have travelled probably the furthest. Maybe aside from Liam Doyle, who's obviously based in Kansas in America. Exactly. But you've come all the way from Port Erin via and Michael today, so it's... You clocked a few miles, so we appreciate that.
Full round trip done.
Yeah.
Just up north, got to go now.
Yeah, that's it. We hope you've got your sandwiches with you. I suppose we should kick off because with Tuesday evening, it's a big match, isn't it? Women's FA Cup final, Peel taking on Douglas Royal. You're obviously Peel manager. What's the mood in the camp? Are you confident?
Yeah, really good at the minute. It's our third consecutive final that we've been in. Really positive. We've lost the first one, won the one last year, so... Yeah, really positive for this year, and players seem up for it, and fingers crossed we do the job on Tuesday.
I noticed, I had a look at the stats this morning, both league games were draws, all points towards extra time.
Exactly, there's not many goals between us.
It was 0-0, 2-2, something like that?
2-2 first game, 0-0 second game, so...
Picking a winner, there's obviously you'll obviously be having a Peel win, but it's gonna be a close game in all.
It will be a close game. Yeah, I think it will. But I know if we turn up and play like we can play, and like we play like the semi final, there's hopefully only gonna be one winner. Yeah.
For you guys, I mean, well, in women's football, obviously Ralph Fletcher have dominated it for so long. You guys have come along. You know, you've shrunk the apple cart. You know, you've done really well to get into that now. And how would you sort of look back and how has that happened, really?
Just a bit of structure in place, I think. Before myself at Peel, the girls were running it themselves and having to just come up with ideas for training and in games, you know, trying to get anyone who can play. And then I came in 2013, I think, and just training every week. You know, players were coming every week and we got more and more and just a bit of structure. I think it all helps and it's gone from there.
And now other teams can see that it can be done and they'll hopefully follow suit.
Yeah, there's a couple of teams I think in the next couple of years we'll get on better. Colby this year.
Yeah.
They're one result away from knocking a big team off their perch. And it was the same thing that we did.
Yeah.
You know, we saw the scores coming down against Corinthians and Douglas Royal especially. You know, we were getting thumped 12-0 and then it came down to 8-2 and then it came down to 4-2 and then all of a sudden we then compete and we beat them. And it was that first one and once it was done it was a whole new mentality then. We're thinking we can beat them, now we can go on and achieve something, so which is great.
And you've built a squad, haven't you? You've got some good young players in there, but you've also attracted the likes of Sarah Riley and Eleanor Gordon this season. Mm-hmm. They've obviously, that's sort of nice the way it's niched together in a way. You know, both will be bringing each other along in a way, won't they?
Yeah, it's brilliant. We've still got a lot of the girls who were there originally before I started as well.
Wow.
So the spine of the team is girls who were there long before me.
Yeah.
Lisa Pugh, Vanessa Roberts, we're still going, Emma Miller as well. They were all there playing 10, 15 years ago, you know, when they were really struggling, and they're still there now. And they're the core and the heartbeat of the team. Brought in some younger players who automatically they get on well with everyone. And I would say Sarah Riley came out, and this season Ellie Gorn. So the mix between everyone is brilliant. And the older players, younger players, you know, there was students playing with their teacher.
Oh, wow.
So it was really good fun to see them, you know, on the pitch and have a laugh between themselves and then obviously going to school and being taught by their teammates. So, yeah, good fun.
Did Eleanor and Sarah bring the winner's mentality then when they joined the squad? Was it evident that they had that about them?
They did. I remember the first time Sarah came down to training. I'd only just started at Peel and we had about 7 or 8 players at training and she came down as her friend was playing for Peel. And I just remember watching her thinking, who is this girl? And so I didn't know anything about the women's side. I was just there, just volunteering to coach Peel and do a little bit.
Yeah.
And she came down, I thought, this girl can play.
Yeah.
And then I think it was the season after, I think she came down. And she brought that mentality of, we can get better. She's won everything on the island. And that's brought everyone, youngsters and stuff, everyone gets on well with Sarah Riley, everyone does, she's cracking. And then Ellie this season, as soon as she came, the girls were like, is Ellie gone, really going to come and play for you? And I was like, I said, well, it works out with her family side.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why she came. She was going to go to other clubs, but unfortunately due to training,
yeah,
she couldn't make it. She got in touch with us and said, listen, when do you train? Because we trained later on in the evening.
Yeah.
She said, oh, that's fine. They can sort the kids out and then play. And I was like, you're more than welcome. Yeah.
So we've had a few people, men's side in this season. We've had Lee and Matty and Ads and Mark. We'll never forget the story of the pub bike. but we've obviously, it's been a bit of a tough season for the men's team, in fact, because of the pitch problems. And that's obviously affected you guys as well. You've obviously had to set up at Colby as well. How have you found it? Has it been a hindrance, or has it been just, it's fine?
Especially going down from Michael.
Yeah,
kept Michael to Colby. Yeah. It's a nightmare. I think it hasn't done us all the good playing at Colby. I mean, they're fantastic to accommodate us down there, but I think if you ask the players, there's nothing better than playing at Peel with the crowd in the stand, and because it is an intimidating pitch to play on. It's quite enclosed as well with the trees, the clubhouse, and things. And I do think the players miss it.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of has done this season, because this is the first season we've had not playing at home. And we haven't done as well in the league as maybe we should have done.
Right.
Could have done. And he said two draws against Douglas Royal and then two defeats against Corinthians, season over.
Right, yeah.
So comes out to those four games, And unfortunately we didn't perform, and I think if we were at Peel, I think it's a different story.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it is. I think it's just Colby's just a football pitch.
Yeah.
The change room's a long way from the pitch, and treat it at half time, usually we'll stay out. But appeal you straight in, and you're talking quickly, and so maybe it hasn't helped, but we'll see. Hopefully next season it gets.
That's it. Yeah, they've started work on already. I've seen there's been some tractors and stuff.
Yeah, it's coming along nicely. Well, looks. I mean, obviously with the men's side, the shirt is quite well known. It's quite infamous. do you get that side of things? Like, for the women's football, is it as bad? Is it as vociferous?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, some of the lads come down and watch, and Chris Horton's great to come down with, and. He records the games and highlights put up on YouTube, so the girls obviously can see them. And
for video analysis, I'm sure.
Obviously, video analysis, definitely. Yeah, if we can see the goal. And they're sat and going, how the hell can we stop that? some of the supporters will go and watch the men's games and the women's games, and you hear the odd shouting of abuse and a few times about it, and it is good fun. But the girls' team, they rather just have the fun element themselves. They are... Not all of them go to the men's games, not all the men come to the women's games, so we do feel a bit on our own, but we still have the
hardcore.
Yeah, we still get the crowds down.
And yourself, you've taken on a new role. I saw on Twitter a few weeks ago now. You're now MIFA's new women's representative side coach, aren't you? Head coach?
Head coach, yeah.
So tell us a bit about that, how that come about, what have you got, is there anything in the pipeline already?
There's nothing yet. It's kind of been in the pipeline for a number of years. Malcolm got in touch a year or so ago and said, would you be interested if anything happened? Mm. And I thought, yeah, it's getting women's football a bit more promotion on the island. And, I thought, we'll see what happens. And then he got in touch a couple of months ago and he said, we're wanting to do it, want to get going. Do you want to be involved? And I thought, well, yeah, why not?
Yeah, it's
a crack. It's an exciting thing to do. There's talk of the World Cup next year in London.
Right.
Alongside the men.
Right.
So... We're still, I think Malcolm's looking at a few things now. We're looking for funding and sponsorship, and if we can get everything going, and if we get the go ahead, then awesome. We'll crack on. But at the minute, it's kind of on the back burner. There's other things to be thinking about before that, and only when we get the confirmation that it's definitely going ahead, then it'll be training and obviously picking the squad. But until then, it's there's other things, obviously, with Peel.
Yeah.
And obviously, I do have the involvement in the Isle of Man team as well, going to the Ireland games.
Right.
That's the priority at the minute. If anything does come of the Ireland van, and then heart and soul go into it. But if not, it will continue to keep going.
I'm going to talk about Gotland. What do you think our chances of getting a medal there? We were silver last night.
The last Ireland games they lost the bronze medal.
Right. Yeah, it was silver the one before that.
Silver one before that. Potentially they could go all the way.
Right.
The quality in the squad is unreal. youngsters who've never played in the Ireland games before,
yeah.
Some of the older heads as well that are in there. If they play like they can do, there's no reason why they can't go all the way. You know, it's just the girls' attitude and wanting to win it.
And there's a trip away this weekend, isn't there?
Unfortunately not, no. Unfortunately, due to a limited squad,
we had to
abandon that this weekend. But there's talks of going away again.
Right.
We just didn't have the bodies available that we wanted. So.
And of course, the Scandinavians are always strong in the women's football. Ireland a few years ago, so quite a couple of them were playing semi-pro, I think.
Yeah.
It was claimed to fame. One of them was Daniel Sjoldnes, who used to play
Liverpool
and West Ham, bench warmer. Yeah, exactly.
Championship manager legend.
Yes.
His sister played for Ireland, I think, in 2009.
College, Andrew.
Well, there you go. It's not just a pretty face.
We've been warned about them.
Yes.
Again, it was, you know, you don't know what kind of squad they're going to have.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years have passed. They could be, you know, the Isle of Man team, for example, is completely different than the team they went 2 years ago. So they'll be thinking, you know, we could be strong, or they think we could be weak because of the players they had last time. We've got some cracking young players going in. One at Sarah Wignall coming in from America as well. Who's been on fire for a university team this year. So excited to see her back playing.
Yeah. I was going to tie in with my next question, actually, that we've seen, obviously, in the last few years that a lot of players will go off to America and these scholarships. So Hattie loves to plying their footballing trade off Ireland. But, I mean, do you think that's the way forward? You know, it's something to encourage, isn't it, for the youngsters?
Definitely. For the girls, there's a lot more of a chance to go and pursue a career in women's football than, obviously, the lads. It's a lot harder for the lads. Obviously, Liam is doing a tremendous job in America. But already in the girls' game, we've got Sarah Wignall, who's playing out in Miami. Kira Morgan is out in, I think, Oklahoma. She's playing. Both playing really competitive divisions for their colleges and universities. Then we've got the two girls at Manchester United.
Ella and Tia.
Who are, you know, cracking players who could go anywhere.
Yeah.
We've got young girls over here still who are looking to go for scholarships,
mm-hmm.
who are interested. I've heard one or two of them mention it before. There's young kids, you know, under 12s playing at Blackpool and Everton as well away. So there's a lot more scope for the girls to go away and play.
You
can kind of see that and the ability coming through. I said, you know, I'm involved with the Peel Junior girls as well. When you go on a Sunday and see some of them, you think there's some talent that's coming through, and women's football is going to be pretty strong over the next, you know, between 5-10 years.
Do you think that's a bit of a cultural change? You know, girls' football is now, there's more of it in schools than ever before.
Yeah, massively.
And the girls are taking it as an option. I know last year there was a senior school shield final for what, I think it was 8 or 7, 6 a side or something like that.
Yep.
But I've never seen anything like that before, you know, and so it's just filtering down, and then that's then giving you that firm base to build upon.
It has. We've now got the primary school tournaments, we've got the secondary school tournaments, Manx Youth Games, football side is growing. I was part of that last year, and the kids coming in to play football, girls' football, were astronomical. We were getting 20 odd kids coming through the west side Peel. And it's been made, you know, available more in schools. They're concentrating on more. High schools are doing it now. It's brilliant for me. And, you know, girls want to get involved and, speak to your clubs. There's plenty around. And there's extra clubs now happening. Douglas Athletic started a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They're getting better every season and more girls playing.
Laxey back in the fold this year.
Laxey back in as well. A lot of their young players.
Yeah. You know,
Laxey have a tremendous amount of young girls playing through their team, under 14s, under 12s, and they're incredible. And unfortunately, when they were 16, they just didn't have a team.
Now
they do, it's great. There's also talk of them around, possibly.
Wow.
In the next year or two.
Big derby game then.
Big derby, exactly. So, I just hope I can hold on to the ageing girls and don't retire yet.
Well, Douglas Royal just announced they're doing mixed training now for juniors as well. They've only just announced that, but I think it's like 7 and 8 year olds-ish, sort of like the younger age. Do you think that's a way forward as well? I mean, it's difficult for mixed, I guess.
It is difficult, especially that age. You've got girls who've never played football before, and you can see them there. If they're with other girls, it's okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like to put them in with lads.
Yeah.
Who were already playing.
Don't want to put them off. Yeah.
No, I think as they are, we have a group of the under 10s, under 12s, under 14s, with the juniors. and they're all together, and the improvement of them is fantastic. You'd pinpoint probably a couple of players who would you could say you could go and play with the lads who are off the better quality, if you know what I mean, and they could probably then go and play with the lads and get a bit more, you know, learn the physicality of the game a bit more.
Well, I think I remember Ellen and Tia's name. They were both playing mixed. They were scoring, and you can do always regular mentions of them. And as you say, it's up if you are of that level.
Yeah, it's fine balance, isn't it?
I think if you're at that level playing girls football and the competition isn't there for you, you then go and play the mixed to play. And I know there's girls doing it now. I know there's a couple of Laxey who were playing for Onkin Boys, I think it is, who were 14, 15, and... Yeah, you can tell when they play against the girls' teams, they've been playing.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're a lot more, you know, a lot stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you get into coaching? Was it?
completely by accident.
Like all tactical things.
Yeah.
Were you an interpreter for someone?
I finished playing under 16s at Ayr United, and I moved back to Kirkmichael to play for the hometown club. Yeah. 16 years old. My younger brother was playing junior football at Ayr United under 14s. For a 16-year-old, every Friday night was me driving to practice down to Angus. So I'd take my brother to football, me and my dad and my brother in a little Citroen AX it was at the time. I'd drive him down, and Andy Roberts, who has been, you know, he's an Ayr United legend and a football legend in junior football, was taking the team. He took me when I was under 12s, under 14s. So I go down there, and they got a tremendous amount of kids down there, under 14s, but they had under 12s as well. There was no one there to take them. So over a period of weeks, Andy then just kind of said, can you take the under 12s over to the side and just do something with them?
Yeah.
And as a 16-year-old, I had no idea coaching. No idea what to do. I was just just play a game of football.
Yeah.
And then, 7 years later, I was still doing it.
Wow.
And that had gone from under 12s to under 13s, so I started at 16, and by age of 23, I decided to then move on, and then I was playing for Michael, and that's when I got asked to start coaching the seniors at Michael. So
when did it go from just something you were sort of just having a go at to actually, so this is something I really want to do, you know, I'm going to look at
badges.
Probably about 18. The first year was really just turn up and let kids play, and then there was someone helping out the second season, and then I think it was about 18 years old was when it was me on my own doing it, and Ayr put me through the level one.
Yeah.
And I thought, I quite like this, and I kept going. And it's nice to see that some of the kids that I was coaching, it was a boys team, the 13 boys, the majority of them now are at Laxey.
Oh, right. First team. Wow, okay.
Which obviously Andy Ball, the two Cummins boys, Aidan Declan, Matty Skillicorn, Jamie Collister, Christian Penswick, all came through with me at the under 12s, under 13s, and it's correct. You know, Sean Kelly, another one.
Yeah.
Seen them all playing now, and you know, Sean is able to play for the Ireland and cracking player.
Yeah.
And they're still playing. Obviously, they're out traveling, I think, now.
Quite well, I was going to say. Yeah. I was talking to someone about Laxey last night, and I think you've rattled off, I think, 6 or 7 names, but I'm like, five of them are away.
But they all played, you know, they were playing at Ayr in the first team, and they've all gone to Laxey. And nice to see them from young kids.
And is that great, you know, is that what you do it for, you know, to get those kids up the load?
Yeah, it is good when you see some of them and you say, oh, you remember when they used to come to training, and you know, Andy Ball, for example, used to come, and I think he was an outfield player. I took one look at him and said, he's goalkeeper written all over. Goalkeeper written all over. So you say, Ball, I get in nets. As when he was 11 or 12, and he used to go, no, I'm not a goalkeeper. And then look at him now.
We'll talk a bit about Baller later, because he has a question for you in the Twitter. But he's had a great season at Laxey.
Fantastic.
He did well. You know, Danny Mead was obviously first choice when he came in, and he's just.
I remember speaking to him as he went to Laxey, and I kind of said, but you know, Danny Mead's the number one keeper. You're going to be playing Combi, and he goes, I don't mind. I'm going to work and work and work. And he said to me straight, you know, the attitude there was to push himself, and he'd done the job. So. And I still go back to him doing keeper stuff with him when he was 11, 12. And to see him now is, you know, that is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's loads of kids that's happened to, youngsters, and nice to see them progress and stay in football.
Yeah.
Even if he does criticise your choice of car.
Yeah, as well. Yeah, how that used to get over the mountain on a Friday night, I don't know, with all the gear inside it. And, got there, though.
Turning back to the men's games, we're going to have to, you know, your career as a footballer rather than a manager, Michael United. It's fair to say it's been a tough season, hasn't it?
It has. It's been a very tough season this year. We lost a lot of players at the start of the season. You know, our loss was Foxdale's gain, basically, and 10 players I think possibly left the club.
Wow.
And yeah, I don't really know what the reasons were behind it. I don't want to do. Weren't happy with a few things, but it's then gone. The Combi team is pretty much elevated to be the first team.
Yeah, yeah.
And the difference between Combi 2 and first team Division 2 is huge. I mean, straight away we were up against it, and numbers were low at training, but the Masters team were straight in there to help out.
Great.
If we were short on numbers, we were pulling in the old boys. And I remember playing at 16 years old. These boys were in the first team. And it's rolled back the years a few times for us. But we've kept going, and we've made the committee made a decision that no matter what happens, we put 11 out for the first team and 11 for the Combi.
Mm.
You know, not try and get the first team squad so the Combi struggles.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's first team, have 11 and no subs, that's tough. But if we can get 11 first team, 11 Combi, at least we're out playing week in, week out.
Do you think it's been good for those previous Combi players? They've made the step up. Do you think it's a good experience for them? Or?
Yes and no. It's obviously a lot of them were playing Combi, and I think they were kind of like, oh, I'm in the Combi.
Bit of a comfort zone.
Sure. Yeah, comfort zone. Yeah. And they come to the first team, and you know, it's a lot quicker, it's a lot tougher, and some of the boys have taken a few knocks from it.
Mm.
You know, you say happy in the Combi, but push yourself for the first team, and it's, I think a lot of the young lads who are playing, happy in the Combi, have a laugh.
Yeah.
It's like, well, come and push and play. It's a higher standard in the first team.
Yeah.
And you've seen some of the improvement of some of the younger players.
Yeah.
It's been great. But it's if we get 11. You never know, turn up to a game, who's going to be there and when you're going to have and a big game.
There was a point where you had a bit of a, drawing blanks in front of goal. I think there was a 5 or 6 match spell, or was it? I don't even remember. Was that around that, wasn't it?
It was about that, yeah.
I think the record was about 10, eight or 10, I think. And the president, I think was saying, he goes, I hope we don't go over this because we're never going to score. And then, lucky enough, I got put up front for one game. And
you've had a few mentions by Andy.
It was a bad match and we hadn't scored. And Ball came over the top and just took a torch and just had it.
So happy days. Are you in line for the Golden Boot, Michael, this year?
I'm equal with about 2 players, I think.
But you've got one game left, Foxdale, rearranged fixtures
match.
Yeah, so unfortunately I'm a goalkeeper now, so I've been goalkeeper for half the season. And still top goal scorer, or doing top goal scorer. But there's about 3 or 4 lads on one goal as well,
right.
So if they get any penalties, I'll be running up.
Chilavert-esque.
Yes, exactly.
Talking about, obviously, you conceded the game against St George's in the Aussie Cup. You know, that can't have been an easy decision. What was the thinking behind it?
Yeah, we kind of joked about it that we would get Geordies in the Cup
for
weeks before it was drawn, and everyone was saying, oh, imagine that. A lot of players were saying, well, if we can barely get 11 out against some teams, and you know, we're struggling to play against the likes of Malou and Governors. You know, them games, unfortunately, we didn't have the players. And you'd lose 4-1. And that's against Governors and you're struggling to Malou. And you're thinking, if we go and play Geordies, that's going to be a ridiculous score. And his players are going to be put off.
Right.
And won't want to be selected because of it.
Yeah.
And I knew on the flip side, there was other guys thinking, yeah, I want to go and play the best team on the island and see what we can do. Myself as a keeper was a bit 50-50. Thinking, if I've got Callum Morrissey up front and Chris Bass Jr. and all Becker, them, but Becker, I'm thinking, I don't want to concede 20, 30 goals. I don't want to be known as the keeper who had a nightmare of a game. So I understand the clubs, you know, they didn't want to be, you know, embarrassed, and it has been a really tough season. I said we've lost a lot of players, and Kurt Michael, the whole club had massive plans over the next couple of years to redo the pitch. We had FA grants coming in to buy, you know, tractor and, you know, storage units and to really put the work in and get Kurt Michael back to where it was. And he still had the same squad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when all the players kind of left, the committee only had one choice and said, we can't do that.
No.
We can't do that. The money is there. Kurt Michael, we don't owe anything.
Yeah.
We own the clubhouse, we own the pitch.
Yeah.
So the money we have, if the players are there, you're going to get a fantastic or turn from it.
Yeah.
And it's just having, if we had the same amount of people, I mean, we had 60 odd people signed on last season, even more, I think, with the Masters team. And the whole grant was to really put the work in. We've done bits with the clubhouse, but the pitch was the only thing that was letting us down. There was talk of, you know, floodlights and all kinds of stuff, and extending the clubhouse even more, better changing rooms, facilities, and making the pitch a lot better, digging it all up, redoing it, getting, like Peel are doing. The money was there.
Yeah.
And then to maintain it, we were going to have the equipment to do it, the people to do it. But unfortunately, it's pulled out. So hopefully in the next couple of years, it can come back, because I think it's a big thing that the country clubs are struggling.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. You know, you've talked about Ayr, they couldn't feel, you guys have kept going with the combi. Ayr had to pull theirs out.
Exactly.
Malou had to do similar problems. You're right. We were talking to Chris about Colby last week, weren't we? You know, obviously they're in the Premier League, and they said they played, most of their players have come from Douglas.
Same with us.
Yeah, and it's not that you play the catchment area for some reason they can't tap into. But I would say the thing about Northern and maybe the Western, it is very secular, isn't it? You'll get the people move around en masse, maybe five or six players, as unfortunately happened to yourselves last year. So it'll come back around.
Does come back around. I remember at Ayr United, we were playing 1 year and we got promoted, and then we had a load of guys from Ramsey and other places join us, and then a couple of seasons later they moved back, and it's happened at Michael. We have players join us. Obviously, being a country village club, you know, we're getting our team, a lot of our players from Douglas.
Yeah.
After 2 or 3 years, they say, "Oh, there's Douglas Athletic. There's, you know, a lot of other teams that I can move to and play locally." And they decide, "Sorry, I'm going to play for my home team." And if they got kids and families in town, you know, a long 20 minute drive out to Michael, they're obviously a bit worried about it.
Yeah.
Pass showing their passports.
It's still early days, obviously, but how are things looking for next season and pre-season? Any word of other players coming back?
Well, we've had the first transfer rumour of the window's not even open.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Jamie Moffat, the great white hope, has been rumoured on social media.
He's the white Emil Heskey, isn't he?
Former goalkeeper, striker, you know, you could maybe trade at half time.
Exactly. To be honest, I don't mind giving up the gloves if Moffy wants to do it. No, I've heard that rumour. There's lots of rumours about players coming back, players who have gone and played somewhere else and not particularly seen the, you know, the other side isn't always greener.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they've come back, there was rumours of them coming back, and hopefully we can do. We need to kick on, we need to get a bit more, I think Michael are looking to get a manager outside the club in,
right,
to try and refresh and regenerate everything. Tony's done a fantastic job, you know, but I think he's realised and he's thought we need someone else in now to try and keep the club going. If he's still there, fantastic. I think he's still going to be a big part of the club. But I do think that's the way it needs to go, and if that happens, it takes one or two players to come back and it starts.
Yeah,
we were struggling start of the season, and Paul Corlett came back from St John's. And then Andy Williamson came back. He was a little bit at Corinthians, I think he was, and then was away. He came back, and then all of a sudden, you get one or two players coming out of the woodwork who maybe haven't played for a season or two, and you might get him in for a combi game, or might get him for a game. And it just takes one or two of them to come back, and then everyone else starts to think, okay, if they're playing. Because a lot of Mike's 40, he's playing 40 wee mates.
Spot on. Well, I think Perksy's probably got another 4 seasons in him, hasn't he?
Definitely. Oh, that boy, come on, bro. He's still going. I watched him play. Combi played a few games against Jim's, and it was Kieran Quinn and Michael Perks playing. They're both in the 40s.
Richard Crowe back now?
No. Well, I think he's always thinking about it, but I think he's got more sense. But Quinny and Percy ran the show. You know, there's 17, 18 year old boys on the pitch, and they can't keep up with what Percy does.
Both were key when the season went up. I remember that was the Spine Crowe and Big Gaz at the back
as well. Yeah, and that's the thing. Since they've kind of gone and come and gone, there has been a replacement. There's been no replacements. There's been a handful of lads from the village who have played, but apart from that, everything else is trying to get from either Peel. Some of their combi boys who aren't playing or something like that, or you're then looking at guys who've not played before, or who played at high school and not playing for a team, and you say, bring a few mates along, and we've got a few lads who've never played before, and they've only just started playing combi this year.
Yeah.
But they're eager, they're keen, and they're down, and they're playing, so
Do you think with Foxtel missing out on promotion, some of their players might be tempted to leave, maybe go back?
I think so, and also the long Foxtel winter break.
Yeah.
I think comes into it. And we always said that.
There's a double whammy with the roadworks as well. Exactly. So exactly. It's even harder to get to the Baltic.
So. Yeah, exactly. What a pain that would be.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. I think, you know, again, it's the same with us, you know, with fixtures. And if you have 5 or 6 weeks where there's no game, players will go, you know what, we've got to do something else.
Yeah.
And then when you have a game and you're struggling to get people back.
Back.
So hopefully with Michael, hopefully we can get it together. And yeah, it'd be nice to have a good pre-season with 30 odd plus players.
Right, so if there's anyone looking for a team, we'll point you in the direction of Michael.
They do a good pint at the Mitre. So.
Oh, there you go.
No, the clubhouse spare. cheaper. You know, that's the same with the Wins game as well. If girls want to come and play footy, get in touch either with Amy, the development officer, women's development officer, or speak to your clubs in the West. I mean, they're all, every club was looking for players.
Yeah.
You know, squads can be, you know, some teams have got large squads, some are struggling. I know for ourselves, we've got a fairly decent, strong squad, but anyone wants to come and play, just get in touch and enjoy it.
And of course, Michael, Blair Road has the unique selling point of a phone mast. You must have brilliant phone reception in the...
Yeah, only if you're on the Shure network.
Other networks are available. Right to the Twitter questions, we've had a few in. Dave, you want to start?
Yes, from one of our podcast favourites, Dave Matheson. Good question. Who's your favourite ever Harchester United player?
I mean, I used to go to college with Dave, and we used to watch Dream Team week in, week out, and talk about it all week. And the only player that's going to be Harchester was Carl Fletcher. He was the stalwart of that whole series.
There was a professional called Carl Fletcher as well. A midfielder. I think that caused no end of confusion.
Yeah. But what a great thing, watching it as a teenager, you just think, inside of a fight.
Weasel over goal, doesn't it? Like, you know, all that goal franchise, which is just so contrived. Harchester United is...
Yeah.
What was the other Redford Rascals? Redford Rejects.
Redford Rejects was the one as well. But no, Harchester United, Dream Team, remember those days, it was good fun.
Dave said the other day he had a replica shirt.
I think he did.
Dave always has a replica Dream Team shirt on, Harchester shirt,
tie this in with a question that Peel sent in about Dream Teams.
Oh yeah, it's good. Nice segue, Dave.
Like it.
So from Peel, if you could select a mixed team with the best Peel women's players and the best Michael United players, what would be your squad?
Not to be harsh on Michael, but I think most of them would be from the women's team.
You play yourself in goal? Or?
No, Kaylee in goals for Peel is incredible. I'd pick her before myself anyway. That's a tough one, but I definitely think there'll be more women than men in there.
And anyone stood out for Michael men's team this year? Has anyone sort of gone, they've come up against it? And,
the legend that is Rob Farragher.
Oh, right, okay.
Again. 40, loves playing, he wants to play and keep playing. He's been probably our best player all season.
Right.
Even when he's injured, he's still there on the sideline or on the pitch doing what he can. And if he's injured, he'll go at net, which gives me a run out.
Yeah.
Every time I turn up, I pray that Rob's injured. I can play outfield. But he's been probably the guy this season, most games. And he's probably been the leader. And there's talk of him wanting to do a little bit more next year, so
good.
We'll see what happens with that.
Hattie, women's football Division 2 correspondent extraordinaire. How rewarding was it to manage Peel Women to their first silverware?
Yeah, that was amazing. That was the FA Cup last year. We were competing on pretty much all levels. We didn't play well in the Floodlit Cup, but I think that was because it was up at Ramsey that year, and that pitch just. It was too bouncy, your girls didn't really like it.
It's quite confined as well, isn't it?
Confined, it didn't really suit us.
Like a Nike advert from the 90s,
isn't it? Exactly,
the
cage.
Yeah.
So when we got the FA Cup final, it was to do it. I think it was 10 years since we'd last been in a final.
Wow.
And there was players playing in that game who had been in the last final 10 years ago. I think it was like, I don't know what cup it was, Hattie will tell you.
Yeah.
You just have to watch Hattie's video on YouTube. When that final whistle goes, it's just madness. The players are running around and celebrating, and we had a good night in the white.
I was going to say.
And that was amazing. The buzz then, and then we went on to win the league. Mm. And the league was kind of an anti-climax compared to the Cup.
As you said, it was the watershed moment, wasn't it?
That was it. It was the first one. Yeah. And when it was a league, we had to draw against Royals, which we did. Everyone just kind of went, we won the league. And everyone was like, we've already celebrated in the Cup. And that was like the big thing. And this is what we're hoping to do this year, because we haven't performed as well as we wanted to in the league. But if you win the Cup, well, either way, win it or not win it, we'll still have
a good go
and a session after in the water.
I suppose it's quite unique. I was just thinking about this now. It's probably the first time that a men's and women's team have both won their FA Cup in the same season, because obviously Peel Men won the FA mm-hmm. Cup last year. How you probably correct me now and tell me Russian did it at some point.
He is right, actually.
Because Royal have
Prince have
obviously been dominant in the women's game, but their men's team have not been in the finals, really, have they?
Yeah, no, the Corinthians girls usually had a better dinner than the girls had a better dinner than the lads, and it's coming that way with Peel as well now. The girls have got trophies to show off, and you know, obviously we want both teams to do obviously well, but it is nice when you're the only team turning up with a trophy. So
we're flying the flag,
give us some more money to spend.
Second question from Hattie. So how does managing this year compare to last?
It was always going to be harder this year. Obviously everyone wants to go and beat the league winners we've won before. The same, you play against Geordies, any first division team are like, right, let's have this. Mm. Let's give them the hardest game possible. We knew this year that other teams would, you know, especially against us, would say, right, this is the game. And they said, we were going fine. It was a game against Corinthians, which we lost, which the girls were disappointed with. And then the second game, we lost again. And that really then put a downer on the season. Mm. Girls were really upset about it. You know, couldn't think the league. They wanted to keep it going. So we kind of had like a little break, I would say, not from training. The girls all kind of had a night around one of the players and just talked about a few things and saying what they wanted to do. Came back the week later and we put 12 or 13 past Laxey.
Wow.
And since then we've been on a roll. Mm. And the way we played against Corinthians in the semi-final, if we play like that, no team will compete with us. That's what I really think. Mm. But obviously last year was fantastic. Obviously we had Seth Ringle playing for us as well, massive player to lose.
Yeah.
But also we had other player, Chloe Swales was playing. She was a really important player. Unfortunately this season, pregnant with her second child, so she said she wasn't going to play. And you lose, you know, probably two or three players from that last season to this season. It does, but we've had younger players step up this year who've been probably second year playing senior football.
Right.
And they've now got into the Ireland team. And with that, we've got 7 Peel girls now in the Ireland squad.
Wow.
Which I don't think we've ever had before.
No. Well, you must be proud of that. We were talking about we're getting the lads coming through to Laxey first team, which is a massive bit. But that's
you know. It is, to see them join and come and play for us and then go training with the Ireland squad. I mean, obviously, I'm being part of the Ireland squad. I knew the squad before the girls did.
Yeah.
And I had to keep it pretty quiet. And they were all asking, you know, when's the squad going to be now? Is someone going to be in it? And I was saying, I said, well, see what happens. And obviously, don't be too disappointed if you're not in it.
Yeah.
And then every Peel girl who went for it got in. And yeah, the buzz and the enjoyment they had after it when they got in, and you know, they loved it. And now the hard work, because a lot of them now want to start.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to be on the bench.
No.
So, and the girls who are probably going to be the squad players are working extremely hard to make sure that they can push and show that they're good enough for a start.
And that's what you want.
That's what you want to do. You see them out now. They're doing training. They're getting in contact with me, saying, "What can I do? Can you, you know, is it possible we can just grab an hour sometime and just do some fitness?"
Wow.
That's how much they want it, and it's wicked to see some of your players contact you and say, "Are you free Saturday morning?" Goalkeeper. Yeah. Is one of them will say, can we do a session?
Yeah.
Just an hour, just in the goals, just you know.
It's fantastic. It's great to see, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good.
Talking of goalkeepers, you've helped shape the career of, Mr. Ball has been on. And we should, before we go into his question, I suppose we should clarify something that happened in Sunday's Hospital Cup game with Moran.
Now, yes,
we were, Moran gave him a good go. I think we sort of predicted last week.
Yeah,
we did say it was
2-0 up with 7 or 8 minutes to go.
And then Laxey staged a bit of a comeback, 1-3-2. Now he is saying that he scored
the winner.
The winner.
Did it? Right, okay.
Now, we were the officially from Laxey, we were told it was Dave Reynolds got the winner. Big Dave, former...
Yeah, former Michael, Matthew Wilkinson.
Yeah. No, Big Dave. But apparently, I've spoken to a source at Laxey, no names, George Burrows, who has told me he was obviously playing in that game, and it was Baller's free kick. It went straight through and in.
Wow, fantastic.
Was he playing outfield then, was he?
Or no, just he just pushed goal? up, got last minute, bang. Baller. So, but I'm happy to correct that for you, Andy. You know, you can die out on this audio clip. You have scored this season from outfield, from a free kick. So, but his the main question, of course, he wants to know, how would you describe your first touch?
Woeful. Yeah, I'm happy with that. No, obviously goalkeeper now, so the first touch is catching it. Yeah. And which is a lot easier than.
Not Neuer-esque, like, you know, sweeper keeper.
Yeah, well, there's a few times I've been trying to do a sweeper keeper, but my pacing isn't as it once was.
Shout out to Sam Walker for Corinthians last week. He decided to go on a bit of a run against Mike Williams of Russia.
Oh, really?
He minced him.
Bit FIFA-esque,
wasn't it? Yeah, it was good.
And then did he do, as a frustrated goalkeeper myself, I've often tried to do that, skin one man, then get a bit cocky and then end up punting it straight out.
No, Glenn was good. He missed Mike and then just lumped it upfield.
Oh, yeah. So you can see he's had some proper training.
Yeah.
I only know once or twice. These are lads who give me a right good talent if I do something like that.
But, I suppose the Blair Road's not really conducive to the old quick give and go either, is it?
No, not really. And usually if some of my clearances, will probably end up on the beach. the first touch, it can be there at times. Just if I'm warmed up enough.
Well, we'll have to see what ball is. The first touch is going to be under a lot of scrutiny next time he's playing, exactly. Including on Sunday in the Railway Cup. I'm going back to Christmas there. Hospital Cup semi-finals. We'll come to that later. All right, before we have a look at them, let's have a word from our sponsor.
I'm going to keep this short. It's 2017, make a smart decision. After picking up over 100,000 members, Cornerstone are now so confident that once men try their razor and shaving products, they won't go back to their old razor. So you can now get an award-winning razor from just £4 with £10 off. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk/Manx to get started.
Right, welcome back. Michael Corlett is still here. Obviously, Peel Women's Supremo and Michael, goalkeeping legend, I'm going to call you now.
Well, I don't know about that.
How many clean sheets this year? Any?
I don't know. None, probably.
Oh!
It's all about the amount of
I wasn't in goals the first game of the season. I was outfield.
That, you drew with Mike Onken,
drew with Onken first game of the season.
Nearly cost him a Gold Cup spot.
Yeah,
that's
when I was playing centre mid, I can't remember now, and then the goalkeeper Dave, unfortunately, he said he couldn't play anymore due to his work commitments and working at weekends, and then everyone just kind of looked at me and went, go and put some gloves on. Rolling back the days.
Right, on Saturday, it's semi-final weekend, Dave. The excitement in the office yesterday while we were writing up the previews was palpable, wasn't it?
Well, I can't contain ourselves.
There's four big games, of course. There's two on Sunday, Super Sunday, we'll talk about that shortly, but Saturday, this is your Junior Cup semi-finals. Times for the Islands' second strings to show their worth, isn't it?
Yeah, and no doubt where the big game is this weekend.
Yes, by Blackberry Lane.
We've got Old Boys versus Laxey. Old Boys favourites for this, you'd have to say. Obviously, they knocked out the defending champions Russian last week, although that match wasn't without its controversy.
No, there was the controversial penalty.
Retake.
Yes.
But obviously, Laxey had a good win themselves, so I think this could be quite a close game, this.
I agree. Laxey obviously finished, I think they finished second.
They were second in the table, yeah.
Is that first v second?
Yes.
I think there was only 5 points in between them at the end of the season, and both. Yeah. I think the games were fairly close between them.
Yeah, we were talking about this last week with the Colby boys. Obviously, Junior Cup is a whole different kettle of fish. The combination, there's a lot of corralling with the qualification. Names pop up in the team list.
We get it every year. We're not sure how many games you have to play first.
Well, it seems to be the question no one has an answer to, doesn't it? You know, sometimes it's 8, sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 12.
You're always looking at who you can sneak from the first team. Who's only played a handful of games for the first team and say, right, Junior Co-op, qualified.
Well, Laxey seem to have the perfect combination blend of youth and experience, don't they, at the moment. moment.
I wonder how many of your former players have got in the
commie ranks.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know who's in the ranks.
I think they actually they might be they've bypassed the commie straight in the first team. Most that's of Michael's prodigies.
So all down to the coach.
Yeah. No, I doubt it.
So yes, but we've talked about it before. They've got Daryl Hazlett, Gary Williams. They've turned them to what you call fullbacks into goal scoring wingbacks.
Yeah.
Johnny Palmer is playing in goal, a legend.
Mentioned him last week, Joe Waters as well.
He scored a couple of the weekends.
He's banging them in for fun at the moment. So confidence will be high for Laxey. I think home advantage will probably just sneak it in Old Boys' favour. Obviously, having already won the league at Cantor as well. So
depends what their pitch is like as well.
That's good. Well, if we look out the window, this glorious sunshine we've got at the moment, I think the pitch is going to be more like cricket wickets at the moment.
I might actually go and watch that one.
Well, there you go. I'm sure the boys will make it. You go and have a look at the new gantry they've got at Blackburn. Have you been recently?
No.
Oh, it's a lovely wooden deck above the dugouts now.
We've got a women's game up there. That's going to be arranged. It's not done yet, so.
Yeah, well, you take your camping gear. I'm sure they wouldn't charge you if you want to stay over. So yeah, that's going to be a close one. It looks like, I think it's got extra time written all over it, and possibly penalties again.
Could be, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
The other semi-final, equally hard to pick a winner in this one, but possibly St John's, St Mary's. You'd maybe favour St Mary's in this. They've got a cracking result against Geordies last week.
Yeah, I think St Mary's will definitely start as favourites with this one, especially given they played St John's earlier in the season and won 12-1, I think it was.
Wow.
It was a huge win. But it must be said, St John's were a completely different proposition when they replayed that a few weeks ago, and it's only 1-0 to St Mary's. So obviously St John's have improved drastically there, and you know they might fancy their chances here.
The goal scorers for last week, I think Stewie Morrison scored a couple.
Dan Corkle.
Yeah.
Michael Boyes as well.
Yeah. And I think, as we talked, just touched on it, the people that have just slipped under the first team radar and are now suddenly eligible for the Junior Cup. So it won't be, as you say, I don't think it's going to be a 12-0 again.
No. But
close game.
Yeah, home advantage for St John's. I mean, they might just force extra time in this one as well, but I think St Mary's will have too much for them.
All right. There's one cheeky little mopping up game to go ahead in the Camel Life Premier League. This time, Colby versus Ramsey. This is the last game of the top flight season, and we're just into May. Incredible, Jeff.
You've done well.
Isn't it incredible?
Neps has done a fantastic job, hasn't he?
Well, Neps, the weather gods, whoever you want to, it's just, for once, it's going to be finished on time.
Amazing. There is a small matter of pride in this game. Obviously, both sides are safe from relegation, but Colby, with a win, could overtake Douglas Athletic.
Yeah, as Chris McKenna mentioned last week when he was here with us on the podcast, that was their aim, that we could take another place, which is fantastic.
Where would that put them?
That would put them up to about 7th? 8th?
I think about 8th or 9th,
That's really good for Colby. That's a really good one for Colby.
Having come up last season, we talked about it. Both themselves and Douglas Athletic have acquitted themselves well.
Very well. I think it'd be interesting to see what sort of team Colby have got out, because they obviously struggled against Peel last week.
Yep.
They weren't helped by an early sending off. They eventually lost 7-1, but I think they were missing a few first team regulars. So if they've got them back, yeah, they could get a win here. Ramsey, though, they know they can perform well in the day. So.
Yeah, Ramsey, a young side at the moment, Michael.
Young side, yeah, I know. Again, a couple of lads from there. Chris Duggan, one of them.
Yeah.
Another one.
The mercurial Chris Duggan, often referred to at the sports desk.
Yeah, tantrums with that kid. What a nightmare he used to be. But, he's such a good player, though. I think he's... definitely Ramsey's top man, I think.
Chris Hall's all back as well from travelling.
Is he back?
Yeah, tremendous. One of the
talent.
Left foot.
Very good talent, yeah.
He was in and around the Ireland squad he went away. Because, as you say, he was just a bit of a wonder down that left wing, really. But, yeah, it's going to be all on who's available, really, isn't it? It's May. You get a bit of scratchy lineups at this time of year. So that could be any score, couldn't
it? Is Jamie Moffat going to be playing?
This could be his swan song.
Well,
if he's not playing, there's the rumours.
Has he signed a pre-contract?
Right, of course, on Saturday as well as the two Paul Henry Gold Cup semi-finals, they were the four teams that are going to be in it were decided last night, Dave, wasn't it? Wednesday night. A bit of a shock
on the cards. So on competing Braddon 2-0.
Braddon's second league defeat of the season.
Absolutely, fantastic result for the O's. In doing so, it means they overhauled Castletown for that final Gold Cup spot. So
it's Royal, Braddon, Foxdale and Onken.
Yeah.
The draw is being made tonight. probably, yeah, 5:15, and you will still have time to listen to that and this. It's on Manx Radio. The games will be 2:00 on Saturday. I think as we should touch on Braddon. I watched them against Royal last week in the game that looked to have effectively sealed them the title. They won 3-2, last minute goal from Jamie Spicer. But the big thing was they lost Andy Glover to injury, and you've got a bit more on that. It's a serious injury. It looks like he's going to be out. Well, it could be it now.
There was obviously talk earlier in the season when he said this would be his swan song. Apparently, he was in a collision with the goalkeeper.
Tom Vardy, yeah.
Tom Vardy.
There was nothing, you know, it was just one of those things. They just ran into each other.
Yeah, and as you said, he tried to play on from this, but it turns out he's managed to damage his kidney and liver. He's there's a slice in his kidney, I think it is, and a bit of bruising or something to the liver. Get well soon, Andy, if you listen. But apparently he's had to go to hospital for tests and stuff. He might have to go away to England, but we don't know. But yeah, I can't see him playing again anytime soon.
So that's put him out of the bid to try and overhaul his brother's silver boot record, which stood at 62. He was well into the 50s, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So and they had got a couple of games left.
A couple of games against Michael helped that.
But the problem, the thing is that now Braddon, having lost to Wonk, I know it was never going to be a given, but their confidence will probably be a little bit shaken now.
Yeah,
they've got two games like Foxtel Gyms. They need a point, don't they, to overhaul Royal at the top?
Yeah, you fancy them to get that against Gyms, but Gyms on their day, a very good side. The other game will be
Foxtel.
That'll be a tough one.
Foxtel, of course, on Tuesday beat Castletown 5-2, was it?
Yes.
Which in itself is no mean feat, so... Jay Chatwood, another of the many Malcolm alumni. Exactly. He scored a hat trick.
In that game, we saw
and Kev Pullman scored as well. So just to rub it in even further.
And then we're playing them on Wednesday.
That's it.
from that game, Tyler Marsden did tweet, didn't he?
He did. Yeah.
Alex Crawley scored his 199th goal for Castletown in the first team.
250
pieces. Something like that. Fantastic return. So obviously he's. He's only one away from that landmark.
Yeah, but unfortunately you can have to wait until next season now.
Absolutely.
Because obviously not in the Gold Cup. So yeah, so we'll of course tweet the Gold Cup semi-finals when they are drawn. But I don't know when the final will be. That'll probably be slotted in within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, right? Obviously got the Carroll Cup to fit in somewhere as well, haven't we?
Yes, all the fun of the Carroll Cup as well. Sunday, Super Sunday, I've billed it in the paper because it's the Hospital Cup semi-finals, both at Ballofletcher.
Yep.
2:30 kickoff, Laxey Peel, St George's Rushen. What more could you want?
Absolutely. So Laxey versus Peel is going to be in Corinthians Pitch, is that right? Is that
the right way around? I should know this, but I don't.
I think, yes.
Yeah, I think it is, yes, and St George's Rushen's on Douglas Road. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, they are doing £3 entry for spectators, but all the money will go to Craig Hartstrong Foundation, which is a fantastic
gesture. Yep.
Yeah, it really is. As a thank you for supplying defibrillators to
all the clubs.
So fantastic, Chester. Geordie's Rushen, where do we start with that one?
Well, if you looked at the league results, you'd go Geordie's, but of course you were there for the FA Cup second round quarterfinal.
Yeah, Geordie's, Rushen 2-0 up at half time, but a last gasp equaliser put it to extra time, and Geordie's eventually won 6-2. So Rushen will obviously take confidence from that. They held their nerve against Corinthians last week on penalties after a 3-3 draw with Corinthians. But yeah, Geordie's, he's have to fancy them to win this.
What do you think, Michael? Obviously, you probably don't see much of the top flight, but yeah, Geordie's are just unbelievable, aren't they?
They are incredible. But you've got to love an underdog. And the Rushen boys would be well up for it against Geordie's as well, semi final. Listen, yeah, it's nice to see we've got obviously Douglas team, a Southern team, an Eastern team and a Western team.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, they're not all Douglas based teams.
No.
Only thing missing is a Northern team.
That's it.
No, it's going to be good. The double header at Ballofletcher as well is going to be.
It'd be nice. It's nice. It's, you know, it has to be said.
It's a great idea.
Often get knocked for not, lack of innovation, but this is a nice idea, and it will be interesting to see how it goes on Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's good. It raises a bit more awareness for the foundation as well.
Yeah.
Raises a bit much needed money for them.
They've been they've been close to my family. I'd encourage anyone to go and get up there and give them the money because they are fantastic.
Yeah, I think we'll echo that. So back to the football. Rushen, as you say, we'll give it a go. Talking about coaches, you know, you've got two of the island's coaching gurus there, in Paul and Burnsy. They'll be working on something this week, I think. There'll be a plan, won't there?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the game plan is very similar to when they met in the FA Cup. You know, because they really did frustrate Geordie's on that day. Don't know what their lineup will be. I don't think they had any injuries last week, so I think it should be a full, clean bill of health. Geordie's, again, if the Grand Slam is there within touching distance now. They're 180 minutes away, potentially, from another Grand Slam, a third Grand Slam. So I can't see them taking their foot off the gas now.
No. The other game looks close on paper. I'm going to say, though, it's going to be Peel that will throw you into that one. We'll have another FA Cup final, repeat in the Aussie Cup final. Laxey, their form's a bit all over the show at the moment.
It is.
To quote the George Burroughs, it's all over the chippy.
Well, I mean, obviously they were... Oh, they pulled it out of the bag against Moran last week, didn't they? That was... They were on course for one of the biggest upsets in recent years. You know, desperately unlucky for Moran. They battled hard to the end, and Dave Brew will be proud of his side. But Laxey, they just... They dug deep and they got the win, and you never know what sort of confidence that'll give them, a last minute winner. So
I think I looked at the last four league games and the last four league games. You only got a point from those, so they've finished with a whimper rather than a bang, haven't they?
Absolutely. Whereas Peel obviously had a phenomenal 2017 so far.
They only lost once, and that was the FA Cup final.
Absolutely. And they've kept on winning even though Ash Webster's gone.
Yeah.
They're scoring goals for fun. Another 7 last week. Billy Kenyuk, Tom Woods. I think Matty Woods got a brace as well. You know, they're all doing really well. So, yeah, Peel will fancy their chances again.
Peel win, Michael? I suppose you've got to go with that.
Got to go with that one, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think the lads will do well there. You know, they train before us, so when we come in, watching the end of their session, and Folky does give them a right good, good session, get them working fitness-wise. They're young team, well, Lacey included.
aside,
but I think the boys will do the job on Sunday.
Tee up another repeat of the FA Cup final. Could there be more extra time drama?
Oh, well, you have to remember when Geordie's got their first Grand Slam a few years ago. It was against Peel in the final. Peel winning 2-1 in the last 2 minutes. Geordie's pulled it out of the bag, so could be a bit of a grudge match.
There's definitely more to come this season.
Absolutely.
Don't let the people tell you it's over yet. Right, Michael, thank you for coming in.
Cheers, thank you.
Good luck on Tuesday evening. Good luck on Wednesday evening as well.
Exactly.
You can't celebrate too much on Tuesday night because you've got a big game on Wednesday.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't think Wednesday is class as our biggest game. We'd be glad to get it over and done with.
So you get the golden boot though, will
you? Yeah,
hopefully, yeah. Get the golden boot, so I'll enjoy that.
So you'll watch. See that Michael will be on all the set pieces on there.
Definitely. Wednesday. Feed the beef.
That'll be trending.
It will be
a billy goat on
there. Yeah, exactly. By one or two people.
Right. Remember, you can tweet us day or night at Manx Footy Blog, where you can find all the podcasts at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football, or of course on iTunes. Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.